That the Lord might help us as we look into the book of 1 Thessalonians tonight, chapter 5 this time. The fifth chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. I'm trying to tie up some loose ends and give you some thoughts. I'm telling you, I appreciate it. These are exciting times that we're living in. I will tell you this, and everybody in this building will agree, this has probably been one of the worst years that most of God's people have seen. And personally, I've had two rough years, last year and this year both. And they've been tough. And this has been a real quick year. It's been a trying time and hours. And nobody in here tonight can say that you wasn't affected by something somehow. And these are still trying days. But the grace of God is well able to take care of us through every single bit of it. He's done it so far. He'll do it tomorrow, do it next week, and the rest of our days. And we do thank God for it. But there's so many different events taking place. You may not watch the news. And, of course, what news you do see is no good sometimes. But if you want to find the truth and see the truth and things that you need to know, you're not seeing. But keep your ears open, keep your eyes open. Things are taking place fastly and quickly. And I'm like David, I lifted mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And I give God the glory for it. But let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Stand up, please. And let's read the first 9 verses at least tonight. Then we'll pray, give you a little message and thought, and give you some things to fill your mind with and go home to think on. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, he's talking to the saints of God, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But we, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are of the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us, look at that word, watch and be sober. For that day, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice verse 9 in particular. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we're not going to go through the tribulation too with that verse there. Now you can be seated, and let's pray tonight. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. I pray the hand of God might be upon us. Lord, touch our minds, help us to see the things that we need to see tonight. And I pray, God, you'll season us with the Spirit of God, that we might be able to deliver the truths of the Word of God. Without the Spirit, Lord, it's going to be just vain repetition. Without the Spirit of God, it's not going to be authoritative. And Lord, but with the Spirit of God, it can drive it home to our hearts and we can accept it and believe it. Lord, where the Spirit is, there's liberty. And I pray tonight you'll give us the liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Looking back in chapter 5 there, he said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need to write unto you. Now, the reason Paul's saying that is because in verse 13 through 18 in chapter number 4, he's talking about the coming of the Lord in the clouds. But I would not have you to be ignorant, verse 13, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, those we planted in the cemetery. Because he goes on down below there and he says that the Lord's going to bring the souls of them with him. And we're not going to prevent them. And then he tells us that we're going to go up. And the Bible said in verse 16, a little bit of the manner of it, I'm just summing it up. He said, for the Lord himself, not another, not an imposter, not a clone, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. I'm waiting on the shout. Don't know about you, but I'm waiting on the shout. With the voice of the archangel. Who's the archangel you're talking about? Amen. Michael. And with the trump of God. No Gabriel standing there blowing the trumpet. Them archangels, I'll tell you right now, is going to be something. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. One's going to shout with a loud voice. What they're going to say? I've often wondered what they're going to say. And the only thing I can figure is, come up hither. Amen. Amen. I believe that's about what's going to happen then. Then the Bible said in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our stage of time is laying in the line, and I'm so excited. Amen. I got so excited last night. I got to having a little spell or two running up and down the hall of my house, and amen, you'd have been ashamed of me if you'd have been a peeping Tom over there. But I was having myself a good time thinking about these scriptures and the things that are going on in our day. There's a lot of things that sometimes you don't pay much attention to. And everything's heading up. Listen, it's heading up faster than I've ever seen it. I've been preaching 51 years. First 25, 30 years, I kept preaching on the second coming of the Lord. Amen. And I've still been preaching on it since then. But I didn't notice too much change. It was about the same. And about the main scriptures I used was that it's going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers and deceivers, excuse me, are going to be, going to continue to deceive and cause people to fall. I read about how they're going to fall away. And I saw the wickedness of that coming about. And I preached about that a lot. Because I didn't have it. But you know, in our modern day, we've got everything. Matter of fact, a few years ago, and I mentioned this in one of the messages I just have preached here lately, I mentioned that one of these days we're going to be able to see things taking place. And I remember when television was so popular, amen, well, it's still popular, I guess, to most folks, but they'd say we're going to be able to see this in the scriptures taking place. And I wonder, how in the world is the whole world going to see it? Back when I started off, we had a little old black and white television with little rabbit ears and a box of tinfoil on it. And everything you seen was snow. Barely see an image, and you sat glued to that thing and couldn't see nothing. You remember them days? And we changed channels, and I had to go out and turn the antenna. And they said, they're going to charge you. You're going to have to pay to watch television. And you know what this old boy said? I ain't. I know what to do. I'll get me a refrigerator rack and put it in a tree and tie a wire to it, and I'll watch television. Well, guess what they done? They went digital, and you can't pick it up with a refrigerator rack anymore. So then what they done come out with cable TV and everything else, and you can't, I mean, unless you're sitting beside the TV station, you wouldn't hear anything or see anything in these days. Ain't that right? Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you, they fool me. And that was new modern technology. And then the pictures got better. And then we got color. And color, come on, and you start, the tones of the face, they might be real red. Sometimes it's green, you couldn't get it all right. But you know what? Digital TV ain't got it now. It's just, they watch football games now and that. And you can pick out a four-leaf clover on it now. Amen. If it had one. Am I telling the truth? Things have changed. And it's come on to technology. And they got the satellites. And I said, oh yeah. And then the telephones and the way it is. And boy, I'm telling you what, you can stay on the other side of the globe if you want to, watching news and everything else today. And I see all this happening. And things are really taking place. How many of you have been on, I guess you have, and seeing these little things when you're trying to order something online or check something out online and you're going into place, and all of a sudden this little thing jumps up on the screen and said, I'm not a robot. Got a little square. How many's ever seen that? All right. And I got Googling that. I wanted to know what that was. Amen. Has anybody ever looked it up? No, that's what the devil likes. He don't want you to have no inquiring mind. Slides all this stuff. And so I said, Google, tell me what I'm not a robot means. And this thing jumped up and this fella come on the screen and he begins to tell. He said, it's what is that? They got a name for it. Capita or something like that. Amen. Is anyhow, it says what this is. It says this. Said, there's so many machines. that check things. And they do things and they put that on there so when you check that, they recognize that you're a person and not a machine doing this. He said that's to keep them from buying 2 football tickets. Amen. By machine. You understand? That's what he said. He explained it. Well, I kept a listening and kept a watching. And a few minutes, it said they sold it out and went to Recapture or whatever it is. Google bought it. And when Google got it, now they're doing the same thing and they put little letters on there. You ever seen them little letters? Got them little letters on there. And it said it's because human beings can figure out them letters and the machines can't. And then it goes on and said, but what they do with that when you say, I'm not a robot, they automatically know to watch where you're going, keep up what you're doing, and they said they make a book. So they're making a book on you. Keeping up with everything you do. They know more about where you've been on the web and where you think you've been because they got the record on you. Ain't you glad you don't have internet? Amen. See there? Some of them don't. They brag about it all the time. Well, I'm glad I've been associated with it. Amen. It's just amazing these things that you see happening today that's going on and on. You remember a couple of years ago I preached on, and I brought this up, called Chrislam. How many remember me preaching on Chrislam? Oh, well, see that just shows you don't pay much attention to what I say. I preached it a couple of years ago. Amen. You know what Chrislam is? How many knows what Chrislam is? Well, okay. It didn't go over good, did it? Chrislam is the way in what they call now Christian Muslims. How can you be a Christian Muslim? Believing in Allah as God and a Christian at the same time. It just don't work that way. They'll say there's no God but Allah. And they carry the Quran instead of the Bible. Well, Chrislam is making its way. And when I found it, it's been in effect about 10 years. But a couple of years ago, I run into it. And I thought that was something, so I brought it to the church. And I'm beginning to tell you about how it's happening. And for years, I've been wondering how the Muslim religion, and I've mentioned this a few times in the last sermon or two, how the Muslims are going to head up into the one world situation. Because Muslim or Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Now people know that. It is the fastest growing religion. And I thought, well, if it's the fastest growing, it's going to take over. And what's this going to do with Catholicism? Because I thought Catholic Roman Catholicism was going to take over and become the one world system, and it is. But for a long time I couldn't figure it out. But then I do now. If you'll Google this and figure this out tonight, you'll see that the Pope has embraced Chrislam. Not only embraced Chrislam, but he's embraced a lot of Muslims. And a lot of Muslim countries. Have you ever heard somebody call Rick Warren? I'll leave him alone, stay away from him. He works with the Pope. Matter of fact, I heard him say this today, that the church is growing everywhere but in America. And when he says the church is growing, it means around the world on the other side of the globe. And it's not Christianity when he's talking about the church. He's talking about Catholicism. And they're embracing it. And he'll stand up in his pulpit and talk about his Muslim friends and his Muslim buddies. And he loves them. And I love Muslims. I love them enough to preach to them and tell them that just like you and me, if they don't get saved, they go to hell. They got to be washed in the blood, born again. Amen. And that means for any race and nationality. And I'm not here saying today that I'm prejudiced about that. I've got family members and friends tonight that don't know God is just as bad a shape as the Muslims are. And they're going to go to hell just like they are. And brother, we ought to be doing what we can about it. But anyhow, Rick Warren has got that and he's pushing that thing forward. Well, let me just kind of give you something. Let's look at some things. Turn over, please, tonight to the book of Daniel. I got so many things I want to go with. We is in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation last week, and I'm going back there tonight, Lord willing. But just want to give you some of these things that might help you. Daniel chapter number 9. I want us to go to Daniel chapter number 9. I don't know but one thing, and brother, I'm going to tell you, it's fast pacing today. I don't know if there's anything really that has to take place tonight to keep the Lord from coming in the clouds in the air to receive the saints of God and take us up. Anything that hasn't happened can happen. But I want to tell you, God knows more about that than I do. Now, He knows how to put the little puzzles together, and I've been keeping up with some of this stuff tonight, and this Chrislam is part of it. This business of Google taking care of all this. And then now, by the way, who's ahead of Microsoft? What's his name? Bill Gates? I don't know if you noticed or not, but Bill Gates ain't been in the news much lately. Hadn't heard much about him in a little bit. You know why? He's taking a little break from it. And he is working on, with China and some of the others, on trying to get all this together, on giving everybody a number. France is doing this tonight, and they're putting out some things in their street. Macron, whatever his name is. He says the Muslims that are coming to the schools are going to have a special number. Amen. Now check out what I'm saying. I'm not lying to you. I mean, this is the thing. I bounced off the wall and off the ceiling and everything last night, and I thought about how close this stuff is. Amen. I'm leaving. Amen. I've never seen it in 51 years of my preaching, never seen it get this exciting. And it may be a little while before the Lord comes, but it might be before daylight. If you're not ready, I would prepare tonight to get ready. Amen. I wouldn't waste no time throwing my socks in the suitcase. I'd get in the altar now. Amen. You hear me? We're that close to the coming of the Lord. Now, I don't know. It could be a few more years. It could be a few more days. It could be a few more months. And it may just be a few more hours, and it may be just less than that. But as I look at this, they're trying to give everybody a number. And everybody's... Listen, when you look at prophecy in the Bible, don't look at the United States of America. That's what you've been looking for years. Prophecy don't come from here. It comes from Jerusalem. Let me give you some things tonight. Go back and I'll hold your place in Daniel. Like I'm saying, I'm trying to be led by the Spirit, and it's moving so fast on me, I can't figure out which one I need to go to first. Now, 1 Thessalonians said in chapter 5, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety. Now, there's more peace, if you will hear me just a minute. There's more peace in some of the other foreign nations tonight than they are here in America. While we're burning our streets and burning our stores and burning our businesses, and the deep state and everything tonight has tried to shut the nation down by COVID, all that, and the businesses are going out of business, and now they're getting another whack at it. And you know what? They're going to move out everybody that can't survive, and then they'll be able to take over everything. This is all in the plan, and I'm not in here trying to give you any kind of stuff tonight to scare you. But it said, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon you them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Hold that in your mind. Turn in your Bible. Hold your place in Daniel. And go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 30, please. Jeremiah chapter number 30. I want us to read a verse or two here. I pray that God might help you. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 5. The Bible said, for thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Then he says in verse number 6, ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. And that's what Paul is going back to here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 3. He said they're going to cry, peace, peace. But what in effect is it going to be like a woman with child, but they're going to be holding their loins. For the pain is coming. And so Jeremiah is writing that. But in 1 Thessalonians, you remember in verse number 13 through 18 that I started reading a while ago in chapter 4, that's when the church is called out, and down in verse number 5, it's when the chaotic mess of the tribulation is going to set in. You see what I'm saying? It's right as plain as you can see it this night. So Jeremiah is telling us that, and that's where he's getting that. Now go to Daniel chapter number 9. In Daniel chapter 9, it said 70 weeks in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now 70 weeks, these weeks, and it's been confirmed, these are weeks of years. In other words, if you multiply 70 weeks times 7 days, you get 490 years, and that's what he's talking about. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now the most holy is the Lord Jesus. They're going to anoint him. He's going to end up being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but that's not what happened right here. But he's talking about it, and that's where he's leading to. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now notice what he said in verse 26. He's given some times, and this is times in history. Verse 26 says, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Who is the Messiah? The Lord Jesus. He was cut off when he died on the cross of Calvary. And he said, but not for himself and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now guess what's happened? Those 70 weeks stopped right there. In verse 27 it said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. And he shall confirm, didn't say he'd make a covenant, he would confirm the covenant that's already there. And he said, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abomination he shall make it desolate. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the sacrifice and oblation. Sacrifice when they offer animals. Oblation is when they bow in worship. Israel does not do that tonight. There's one thing that's in the plan of God before the Lord Jesus puts his feet on the Mount of Olives with the saints of God that has to take place, that the Jews are looking forward to. They're wanting to do, been wanting to do it for a long time and can't. And that is to build a new tabernacle or a new temple. Yep. Right now, where they go, the Bible said, and by, let me just see if I can't turn over and get you some scripture here. See if I can find it right quick. It just come to my mind. And it's in the book of Zechariah. I want to turn over there and give you this. And see if I can find where it's at. I'll give it to you in just a second. I'm going to take time to do this. The Bible said in the book of Zechariah. And let me see. All right. If I can find the chapter, I'll get it there to you. Chapter number 14 of Zechariah. In chapter 14, I didn't have this in my notes. I just, the Lord's give it to me right quickly. The Bible said in verse number 4 of Zechariah, amen, right before the last book of the Bible of Malachi, next to the last, In verse number 4 it said, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Where did Jesus leave this earth from? Mount of Olives, Acts chapter number 1, 2, or chapter 1, you'll find he left off the Mount of Olives. Two men stood by in wire apparel, said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who went away will come again in like manner. And so we go on. He said, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. This is when he comes back, which is before Jerusalem on the east. I've been there. I know where the Mount of Olives is. I've been on top of the Mount of Olives. Then it said, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward, or thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now, beloved, he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. There is a walled city around the old city Jerusalem. Has 12 gates. You get that out of the book of Nehemiah. They've patched up those gates. That wall is in bad shape, or at least it was in 1970. And some of them have repaired some of it, and some of it has not been repaired. They let us walk on that wall in certain places. But right where this place of Mount of Olives, and is a valley between it and Jerusalem, you can see the walled city right over there in Jerusalem. And there's a big double gate, but that double gate has been mortared up and it's got brick in it. And right in front of it is a Muslim cemetery. Graves there. That's a sacred place. And just on the other side of that gate is what they call the Mosque of the Omar. That's a temple, a Muslim temple. They go in there, they pray, they seek the face of God, their God. And they allowed us to go in. We had to go in barefooted, walk around it. That's also the place where Abraham and the Old Testament saints offered up sacrifice. But somehow the Muslims got it when they destroyed Jerusalem and they put a cemetery there and locked up the gate. And now the Jews call it sacred. They want it. They want them. They've been wanting that place for a long time. You with me? You follow me, aren't you? Hey, amen. These are some of the things that make me want to jump off the wall when I tell you what I found out this week. You can go home and check every bit of it out. Okay. That's where Jesus is going to come. And he's going to cleave them mountains down. He's going to walk in that city. It's called the Beautiful Gate, if you will, in the book of Acts over there. Where that man is at the gate called Beautiful. When Peter and James were going to pray. And Peter reached and lifted him up by the right hand and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And then Titus and them come through and destroyed that and took the temple. Every time the Jews have turned around, somebody's destroyed their temple. Well, there's one thing the Jews want. They want a temple. They're looking to build a temple, and that's where they want to build it. Well, go home and look this out. This past Sunday night, while you was getting ready for bed, or maybe already in the bed, Mr. Netanyahu got on a little airplane by a man called Angel, and flew him to some other place, I think Saudi Arabia or somewhere in that area, and met with Salman, and some more people met in there, and we had a fellow out of the United States met with, what's his name? Secretary of State. What's his name? Pompeo met it. This, go home and read it, go home and study it. Amen. And met with the crown prince. Well, in August of this past year, or this year, the president said we're going to work on the Palestinian covenant, or Palestinian state, the Abrahamic covenant. How many remembers that in the news? Hey, I didn't think much about it. Didn't pay much attention to it. Hey, they're trying to establish peace over there. But when Netanyahu can get out of Israel and go to those places and start talking to them Muslims, there's something rustling in the air. You don't have to ask me. You don't have to speculate what I am sure they were talking about, the Abrahamic covenant. Now, this is going to be speculative, and I'm going to tell you this, but just watch what this old preacher said. I'll guarantee you that this Abrahamic covenant was brought up. And this Abrahamic covenant is going to allow them, and I am looking for it, and I'm almost positive now that what they're going to do, and Netanyahu probably is going to trade off some land in Israel somewhere with them to get that place called Moscow Omar to build their temple, which they've already got materials for. Now see, we're sitting here in America worrying about who's going to be the president. And God's got it all in His plan, working it out on the other side of the globe for us. Amen? We're burning up our streets. I am sure. Now listen. This has been happening now for the last little bit. That's why it's happening now so quickly. And the Pope's embraced these Muslims, and that's why it's a Muslim country over there. They've hated and despised. And that's why I said we've had probably more peace in the last 4 years with the president we've got than we've had in a long time. And he's done more to bring down stop the animosity between those countries as I've ever seen. They all tried it. Carter tried it. Bush tried it. Obama tried it. Clinton tried it. Amen. And a lot of it's through that little Jewish son-in-law of the president. Amen. I'm looking for this to happen. I'm watching it. I don't know what he went over there to talk about, but I'll guarantee you it's something of nature because they met earlier in the year. Now the president, he's not got control of that. But he agreed to it. Understand what I'm saying? And I get so excited if I hear one of these days that they're tearing down the Mosque of Omar. Hey man, you're going to hear me shouting from 1743 Robertson Loop all the way up through Clarksville. Amen. Because I know it ain't going to be long till the Lord Himself's going to come. And the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to get caught out of here. Because everything seems to be lying. Listen, by the way, I'm not into prophecy. I have been lately. I'm not apologizing for it. I'm going to try to get out of that. You need more than just prophecy. But I'm telling you, these little things excite me. And I see all this stuff, brother. It just gets me so excited. Amen. Look with me tonight in Joel chapter 3. I preached and talked the book of Joel here one year. In Sunday school, took, 42 lessons. I remember 42 lessons. 42 Sunday schools we taught the book of Joel. Almost a year. I've got those messages. The Bible said in Joel chapter number 3, I don't know what your Bible, if you've got a Bible, it's got headings. I don't know what yours says, but mine says tonight, the restoration of Israel right above it before I start the reading. Does anybody else just say that tonight? The restoration of Israel. Now Israel's going to be restored. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem." Now God has put Jerusalem in the foreplay when He moved that embassy up there to Jerusalem. And everything has worked out in the last few years, hasn't it? You got to remember that the heart of the earth and the capital of the world is Jerusalem. Every prophetic thing in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation has Israel in mind. Israel was around before the U.S. was around. And Israel will be around when the U.S. is no more. And the way U.S. is going now, it ain't going to last long. But the Bible said, "I will also gather..." What's that say? What's that word? All. I looked that up one time about all. I want to know what it meant. You know what it means? All. It means nothing excluded. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Have you noticed that Russia and Putin and all those are quiet right now? They got plans. And they're not making them known. But Russia, that's the bear. It's going to ride down and come through and try to destroy. Amen. And God's going to prepare a supper for the great God, for himself, and call the vultures. We read that 19th chapter of Revelation. And they have cast lots for my people. The whole world has been against Israel. Now, I read a scripture today that God does strange things. He's a strange God. He is to people that don't know him. I believe it's Jeremiah said that, or Isaiah maybe, Isaiah 40, I think it, he says it over there. Let me see if that's what it is. Let me go back and get you this and see if it's what I'm thinking it is, and we'll read it and tell you. God, if you want to know a little bit of prophecy, read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those will help you. Amen. In Isaiah 40 and 15 said, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. That's not the scripture I was thinking about, but I'm thinking about where he says it. He does strange things. Israel's looking at God, and they're looking for... Have you ever thought about this? Let me just give you this to think about. Israel was in Egyptian bondage how many years? 430. They were in Egyptian bondage 430 years. And they got out. Now, first 30 years probably wasn't no problem to them, but at least 400 years. The Bible says 400 years in some place, 430. Now listen. When did they get out? I'm not talking about on the calendar. They got out when they started crying out to God for deliverance. They cried, send us a man. Send us a man that will deliver us. And God went down and got one, raised him up from a boy, put him in the bulrushes, raised him in Egyptian territory. Pharaoh's daughter raised him until he got on up 40 years old. He left him, went to the backside of the desert, stayed there for a while. And then when he was 80 years old, went back to Egypt to get the Israelites. God has to take a long time sometimes to get us right. Now, would you turn with me tonight? I could quote it. You can quote it. Go to 2 Chronicles. Amen. See if I got the right place. 7:14. Now you know what it is, don't you? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. You remember the other day I said when you're reading the Bible, you've got to figure out who he's speaking to. God is either speaking to the Jew, he's either speaking to the Gentile, or he's speaking to the church from Genesis to Revelation. You've got to figure out who he's speaking to. You said, I thought he was speaking to all. Yeah, there's applications in all the scriptures to every one of those. But specifically, who's he speaking to? In 2 Chronicles, he said, if my people... And in 2 Chronicles, who was my people? Who was it? The people of God were who? Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what God did for them when they were in Egypt. But now they've got away from God. And God's giving them this again to, he's saying, if my people, now I believe if you are sitting here and Me standing here tonight, and the church gets the same place, and we're His people now, right? By the grace of God, washed in the blood, we're considered the people of God. And if we pray and seek the face of God and turn from our wicked ways, repent, call upon Him, I believe God will heal our land. But that's an application. When God wrote this, He gave this specifically to the Jew. He's an earthly people with an earthly promise. Those Jews have been going to the Wailing Wall since 1948. They got little old cracks in that wall over there, and they got little prayers, and they go there religiously 24 hours a day off and on for the whole time. I've seen this in my own eyes, and they pull them little prayers out, and they pray, and they got little prayer books, and put them little beanie hats on, and they pray. And I went to the Wailing Wall and prayed too. I prayed for a different thing than they did. And they're praying for the Messiah to come because they rejected Jesus when He came the first time. They're praying for the Messiah. They've been praying for a long time. Well, God's going to hear their cry. And this time He's not going to send somebody else to deliver them. He's going to deliver them Himself. And I'm excited about all that, and I'm watching all this play out. And I've just got to where I keep my ears listening, and my eyes are looking just to see whatever I can see. I'm so excited about it now. I'm more excited now than I've ever been about it. You see, we're living in a glorious time when the coming of the Lord is so close. And I'm looking forward to it. You said, oh, I ain't so excited. You may be like the little girl came here to church here one time. I preached on the coming of the Lord. Standing back there, she said, I looked at her and I said, wouldn't it be good for the Lord to come today? And she said, oh no, I got a lot of things I want to do before He comes. Well, this preacher tonight got a different attitude about that. Amen. I'm done, wore out, and about halfway dilapidated, no good to nobody. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm ready for getting called out myself. Amen. You can have it. Amen. You said, I'm going to. I certainly hope so. But I'm preaching tonight to warn you, if you're not ready, you need to get ready. How am I going to get ready for it? Give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon Him. Now, I've scattered across all this, but you're going to go home shortly and see what you can find out about all this. Amen. These are exciting. And some of you won't. I know you won't. But I don't want you just taking my word for it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was studying this stuff and got it. And I get a hold of some of that last night. And I got up one time and just took off down that hall. I'm glad the Lord stopped me before I went through the back wall. It's way up in there, back there. But I'm telling you, I'm going up. I'm going out. And my Bible gets more exciting to me every day. I just love it to death. Oh, what a book. Oh, what a book. Oh, what a book. I've never had a book in all my life that's so exciting as this. It's just an ordinary book to me. Amen. Well, you must have an ordinary God. I don't. He's supernatural. Powerful, great. He saved me, washed me in the blood, took away my sin. Amen. He didn't just wipe me clean. He washed me clean. Put my sins behind His back, never to be remembered against me anymore. Give me hope where I never had no hope. Give me a desire I've never had before in my life. Oh. Ain't you excited? Amen. Two or three of you are. Amen. Rest of you sleep on. Amen. You remember Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane? Took His disciples with Him. He had all 12 of them at that time. And He got down there and He said to them, said, sit right here or stay right here and pray. And He went on, went back in there to pray. An hour later, guess what? Come back and is asleep. Said, what? You not watch for me 1 hour? Went back, come back. Guess what? Finally come back at lunch time and said, sleep on. Yep. And so I say to you tonight, sleep on. Yeah. Amen. Don't excite you. Sleep on. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm excited. Yeah. Give God the praise and God the glory. Amen. He want tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I'm giving him thanks today.
That's right.
Tomorrow's supposed to be National Day of Thanksgiving. Some folks ain't been giving him enough thanks anyhow.
That's right.
But I do it every day. Thank God. He lets me get up. Let me go to bed. Let me just enjoy the things of God. Heads bowed. I could talk all night about this, but I thank God tonight for his goodness.